Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes, each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Krista, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here today with our other two co-hosts, Shermin and Wendy. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Krista. This is Shermin. Glad to be here with you again today. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, and this is Wendy. Hello, ladies, and warm welcome to our listeners out there. We are delighted to have Heather Hundhausen as a guest on our show today. Heather is a self-love and empowerment coach who works with heart-centered individuals who are ready to release their physical and emotional pain and reconnect their minds with their bodies so that they can start living a life of passion and purpose. She assists people in making decisions in their lives by following their heart, mind, intuition, and soul from a place of being whole and integrity.
Heather also has over 15 years' experience as a licensed massage therapist, specializing in Thai massage, neuromuscular therapy, and myoskeletal alignment techniques. In addition, she has a master's degree in mental health counseling, and she's certified in redirecting children's behavior as a facilitator and coach. She also has credentials as a certified health coach, a business coach, and a hypnotherapist. Quite an impressive resume, I would say.
Oh, yeah, I agree. During her years practicing traditional massage therapy and also while an intern working on her master's degree in mental health counseling, she realized that people responded strongly when addressing their feelings and not just their thoughts. Working with this knowledge, she began to create an experiential environment for her clients, having them focus less on what they were thinking and more on what they were feeling. The title of our show today is How to Deepen Your Relationships Using the Law of Attraction and Quantum Physics. What an interesting topic. I really can't wait to hear all about it. So welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, Heather. It's so good to have you on our show today.
Hi, good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for having me join you.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. So let's jump right in. We have bunches of questions, and Wendy's going to take the first one.
Yes, I have the first one. So, Heather, why do people stop taking care of themselves and put others first?
Well, I think that that is a cultural phenomenon. I think we are raised in a culture, especially us as women. I tend to work mostly with women. And women in our culture are taught that they're supposed to be nurturers and caretakers, which if you look actually at the DNA and you look at anthropological types of research, you know, women have traditionally always been the caretakers. You know, we're talking about millions of years of DNA. But what happens in our culture, the way that it's set up, is that self-care becomes something that others see as selfish. And we end up taking care of others first. We live in this environment where there's, you know, only maybe two adults in a home with a bunch of children, where traditionally, you know, there were 50 people living all together. And so you could pass around the caretaking responsibility, but that doesn't happen anymore in the world that we live in. And so what ends up happening is you have one parent or maybe two parents, and one parent probably is out working, and maybe even two parents are out working. And then by the time you get home at the end of the day, there isn't really enough energy to go around. Of course, we're giving that to our children, we're giving it to our spouses, we're giving it to our mothers, and we've lost that sense of needing to take care of ourselves. I like to describe it like when you're on an airplane and the pilot says, put your own oxygen mask on first and then put it on your children. It's the same idea.
Right.
We forget that we need to take care of ourselves first, put our own oxygen mask on first, and then we can take care of others.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too, as you were describing it. So that's great that you're working with women, because we are so much like that, aren't we? Gosh. Well, Krista, you have the next question.
Yes, Heather, so how can our negative emotions like anger, sadness, shame, or fear actually guide you to your greater purpose and to integrity, freedom, and alignment of your spiritual path?
Well, that is a very big question, and it could take a while to answer. So let me know if I need to stop talking, because I could talk about this for, you know, a long, long time. So this is the theory that I have, and I've actually heard some other people also describing theories that work like this. But what I've discovered is the more in touch that we become with our emotional sense, the more in alignment we are with our higher self. So each one of us has access to a part of our brain, part of our consciousness that is connected to everything that is, everything that was, everything that will be, part of this collective consciousness, which is what Jung called it, the collective consciousness. This is when we're going to talk about quantum physics, that kind of thing here. So we have access to absolutely everything. We have possibility to create absolutely everything that we want. So how do we know when we're in alignment with what we came here to do? My answer to that question is knowing what's happening emotionally. We live in a culture where we have been taught to shut down our emotions from a very, very young age. I have two small boys. Well, they're not small anymore. They're 10 and almost 12. And they play soccer. And I hear these parents saying things to their children like, oh, no, you didn't get hurt. Suck it up, buttercup. Just keep playing. Boys don't cry. You know, the little girls will be jumping up and down having a temper tantrum, and the parents are shushing them and telling them to be quiet. And we're not being seen. We're not being heard. We're not being valued. And then we're not teaching our children to do that inside of ourselves. So then when we grow up and become adults, we actually haven't learned to do it either. So all of these amazing emotional guides that are, in my opinion, God-given, we shut them down. And so we're not paying attention to things like our shame or things like our fear or our passion sometimes, or our drive or our anger. I work with women on their anger in particular, and it ends up being one of the most controversial conversations I have with almost every client that I have. And I actually get into debates on Facebook about it a lot, and it can be very, very misunderstood. In our culture, when we hear the word anger, in people's minds, what happens is they see rage and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of anger that I'm talking about is the kind of anger that you might witness a silverback gorilla having if a cougar starts to get close to the boundary of his, what do you call a silverback gorilla tribe? You call it a tribe? I don't know what you call that. Bunch of monkeys, bunch of gorillas, you know? But you'll see him display, you know, he'll pound his chest and he'll say, rah! And he's doing this display of, quote-unquote, anger to scare away and threaten and protect the boundary of his family. We don't allow ourselves to access that emotion because for us, a lot of us have seen trauma, a lot of us have seen destruction. People don't use anger in a constructive way, in a win-win way. Hey, I'm upset about this, and I'm having anger about it, and the anger is showing me who I am and what I'm okay with or what I'm not okay with. And now I get to lovingly communicate that with you so that we can win-win negotiate and both be happy. So that's what I'm teaching people. How do you feel these feelings that have been repressed for so long? Allow yourself to feel them completely with a big, wide-open heart. You know, you feel all your feelings in your guts and in your heart, and we've shut a lot of that down. And so it actually prevents us from having intimacy in relationship, which is why I titled this talk, How to Have Deeper Relationships in Any Relationship Using Quantum Physics. Because from this place of feeling all of your feelings, you are now a creator. You are a chooser. You can choose whatever you want moving forward because you know where your alignment is. If you're feeling sad, you're out of alignment with your higher self. If you're feeling angry, you're out of alignment with your higher self. It allows you to be a guide to put yourself back into alignment so that when you're in relationship with someone else, you can communicate in a loving, peaceful way, hey, this is what's going on for me. Can we talk about it? And with your heart wide open and your ability to look right into another person's eyes while you're communicating with them, allowing yourself to be seen because you're not afraid to be seen, it actually deepens relationships. You're able to get what you want, get what you need, create whatever it is that you want, and live a much happier life with deeper and more connected relationships. Did all of that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. The only thing is I'm thinking about my own situation. If I feel like anger rising up in me, I would have a little difficult time as my first response to communicate in a loving, calm way. So you're saying that we should not even express this anger initially?
Nope, that's not what I'm saying at all. So initially, in the moment that you experience the anger, the idea is to allow the anger. Allow it to come flooding through your body. What happens in our brain, actually, when we experience anger is we have this gigantic chemical dump, cortisol and all kinds of other, sometimes adrenaline, all
right.
kinds of these chemicals dump, and this is called the flight or fight response. And when it happens, you actually, your blood flow changes, your heart rate changes, you may start sweating, you'll stop digesting, all kinds of things happen so that you can either fight or run. Or some of us even freeze because we're taught not to feel our feelings. So then we go, I don't know what's happening. And we do this thing where we pretend like, you know, denial or confusion. but the idea is to allow yourself to feel that, and you can even express the anger, the energetic anger. For instance, I had a situation recently where somebody broke their word to me and was extremely out of integrity, said, I'm going to do this, came back 4 days later and said, no, I'm going to do that. And I literally screamed into a pillow right next to them. And I was like, ah, I'm so angry. And I said,
okay.
You know, you put me in this position now where I have to make a choice because you didn't keep your word to me. And I screamed in the pillow, and I was so angry. And so this is heart-centered living, allowing someone to be a witness of my anger, but I'm not blaming them. I'm not putting my responsibility on them. I'm just allowing them to be a witness. And then from that place, they're like, wow, you're angry. And I get to take a minute and calm down. And then we have a conversation that goes like, all right, you broke your word. Now I'm stuck in a predicament. What are we going to do? And we have eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart communication about what's the next step.
Okay.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that's great. And if you don't do that, if you don't let your anger out you said that can be, it can result in actually physical manifestations. Is that right?
Absolutely. I see a lot of people with many, autoimmune disorders because they have stopped feeling. And when you suppress your feelings and you stop feeling, you actually hold that in your body. And some people's bodies literally will start attacking themselves. And depending on which emotion you're holding, and not expressing, there's different diseases actually that come out of the different ways of holding. It's so fascinating to watch. But anger is one of the biggest ones. Fear is definitely a big one. And this actually goes back to the first question of self-care. Those of us who are refusing to feel our feelings are the ones who are stuffing it all in and going, well, I'll just take care of you, I won't take care of me, because it makes us, quote-unquote, feel better. This is also how addictions are formed, because I don't want to feel my feelings. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to overeat, or I'm going to overspend, or I'm going to drink too much alcohol, or do drugs, or, you know, whatever addiction of choice it is that somebody turns to instead of feeling.
Very, very interesting. Shamin, you have the next question.
Yes, I love this question. So, Heather, how do neurological pathways in the brain form that then keep us from our full potential? How does that happen?
Okay, well, this is, I use a metaphor for this because I don't really want to talk about brain chemistry. It gets too boring. So I like to use a metaphor. If you imagine that your brain is like a jungle, and your thoughts are the machete, and you want to get to the end result. Let's say you want to get to the end result of having the love of your life, for instance. Mm-hmm. You have, in your childhood, you have experiences that form neurological pathways. So let's say your mother doesn't give you a cookie, you really want a cookie, mommy says, no, you can't have a cookie, go to your room. And you go to your room and you start forming a belief that all women are mean. All women withhold love from me. I don't know, whatever it is. And when you're young, your brain is very open, very fluid, very plastic, and it starts forming all these thought patterns that actually, it actually even happens before language, which is what's really fascinating. So you're taking this machete and you're cutting this pathway in the brain that's, the brain is made of this electrical circuitry, and it's literally like plugging the different electrical currents in. It goes zoom down this one path. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start this one belief, you actually will start looking out in the world to prove that your belief is true. So now you're looking to prove that all women withhold their love from me, or whatever it is that your belief was, you know, from the cookie experience. So everywhere you go, every interaction you have with a woman, you're thinking women withhold love from me, so you're actually collecting data and collecting evidence that it's true, and it's actually taking the machete and forming a deeper, bigger groove of a path through this jungle. So when you see a woman, your brain automatically fires down that path. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're at the end of the path, which is all women are mean and all women withhold love from me. Mm-hmm. I believe that answers the question.
Yeah,
did I answer it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so funny because I use pretty much a very similar example with my clients. I use a path in the grass. You know, that's always kind of, you know, it's easy to fall back into. So instead of making a new one, pretty much what you said. So that's why I said I love this
right.
question, because it's so true and it just can keep us so stuck. But, you know, awareness is what makes the difference, you know. When you're educated on this like this, then you can do something else. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's more to it. It's a characterization. So, you know, I'll give you an example. So my dad is, for many years I characterized him as controlling, demanding, manipulative, and he gets his way, and we do what dad wants, right? That's how I characterized my dad. So, of course, I formed the belief that all men were like that. I can't trust men. They're all demanding, and they're all manipulative. And I spent a good portion of my life believing that that was true. And all I had to do was, actually, I did research. I researched, I had, I don't know, about 2 or 3 hour conversations with probably about 20 men at this point, asking them different things about who they were and how they felt in relationship. What is loyalty? What is safety? What does a woman mean? What do they love about women? And it was one of the most remarkable things I ever did, because it taught my brain to characterize men in a very new way. And so what I understand about men now is that men are, they're enamored by women. They love how women are fluid and how women move. If you watch a man, especially in a new relationship, you'll watch him just sort of like staring at the woman that he's with this big smile on his face, just going like, "You're such an amazing creature." They're just so fascinated by us. And when they feel that enamoredness, they really will do anything to protect us, provide for us, keep us safe. They become extremely trustworthy, you know, like a safe harbor, like a shelter from the storm. That's what men want to be for us. And that's what I learned from doing this research with all these really amazing men. I got so blessed that I got all these amazing men. So I have a new characterization now that men are protectors. Men are a safe harbor. Men are taking care of us. They, you know, that's why they put their jacket out over a puddle. You know, we've lost a little of that in our culture because as women, there's this misogyny happening, first of all, an objectification of women and bodies. And then women are revolting and going, well, men are awful. And we've all characterized each other so terribly that we're not looking for this evidence that men are wonderful, loyal, trusting providers and protectors.
Right.
And so when I started looking at my dad like that, did you say something?
I said, yeah, and that belief works so much better, doesn't it? All men are wonderful. You tend to get men in your life. Yeah, because you look for that.
Right, exactly. Well, even my dad, I didn't even need to get a more wonderful man. I was able to see that my dad's control and manipulation and bullying and all of that stuff that I saw before was actually him trying to take care of me and provide for me and protect me. And when I looked at it from that perspective, I was able to ask more questions that opened it up in a way that he was like, no, Heather, I'm trying to take care of you. No, Heather, I love you. And
see,
it was just clarifying
the
question.
You have to have that belief. When you have a different belief, you look for different proof. You look for different evidence. So the belief is what makes the difference.
We have
absolutely
millions. Right. Mm-hmm. We have millions of stimuli coming in every day. And we only focus on maybe 2 million stimuli a day. So you actually, that's how quantum physics works. That's how law of attraction works. What are you focusing on? Because you're going to get more of what you're focusing on.
Yep, absolutely. This is fascinating. I could talk with you, just you and I, for the rest 3 hours, but I think Wendy wants to get into the conversation. Wendy.
Yes, I'm sitting back and listening to this fascinating information. But I do have a question. Do you have either a trick or a tip that you can share with us that could help us and our listeners feel more empowerment and self-love today?
Oh, you know what? Am I allowed to talk about some stuff that I have for people? Can I tell you where they can find
some?
I have free information online. Okay, great. So if you go on YouTube and you Google 12 Days of Loving Yourself, Beautifully Authentic, Beautifully Authentic is the name of my company. There's actually 10 to 15 minute videos on all different things that you could do today for self-care and self-love. But I'll pick one for the radio. So if somebody doesn't, you know, you can find a lot more there. And then today I would say, I'm intuitively getting today that whoever's listening, just spending some time in the mirror, eye-gazing with yourself, is one of the most profoundly loving and connecting things you can do. Look in the mirror, look into your own eyes, see your inner child, see your divinity. You may even find your critical self. You may find your shadow. And just from a place of having your heart be as open as it possibly can, see what comes up and just spend a few moments with yourself. We, especially as women, spend so much time focusing on everything else. You know, I mean, we even want to be in service to the world before ourselves, you know. And just taking 3 minutes, 5 minutes to be in the mirror with ourselves is really honoring who we are. And it starts your day off with a lot of self-care and a lot of self-love. And just kind of just being a witness. Wow, you look so sad today. Are you sad? What are you sad about? Oh, my gosh, you're so beautiful today. You look really well rested. I'm so glad you got enough sleep. You know, I talk to myself in the mirror as if it's an actual other beautiful woman standing across from me, and I'm just allowing myself to see her and look into her. And it's a wonderful way of connecting with yourself and finding yourself. So that's my little tip for today.
So you have one of these, 12 days of loving yourself. So does that mean every day there's something new for the people to do?
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, because I'm getting your emails, the daily emails with the different tips, and it's really enjoyable.
Oh,
so
go through. Good.
Yeah, I remember I signed up a few.
I should probably put the videos in there. That would be a good idea. Add those in.
Yeah,
as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. Okay,
yeah,
thanks a lot for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Krista, you have the next one.
Yeah, you can find those daily emails. All of that's on my website. I don't know if you guys have a link to my website because my last name is impossible to spell.
And what was your website one more time?
HeatherHundhausen.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, HeatherHundhausen.com.
HeatherHundhausen.com. We'll put that on our Facebook page.
HeatherHundhausen
is not
easy. Yeah. Yeah, okay. That was actually
my
question.
So if you want to find it, it's on the Facebook page.
Okay.
I also have a page called beautifullyauthentic.com. That's much easier to spell. And that'll lead you all over the place also. So.
Authentic.
Yeah.
Beautifully
authentic. And on the Beautifully Authentic page has a free training. If you go in there, I think, and Heather Hundhausen has a free training also on boundaries. So if you click on there, you'll end up getting a free training.
Awesome. Great.
Awesome. I think Krista has a quick other question,
and
then we're about at the end.
Yeah, I think we're almost out of time. Just quickly, Heather, just for the benefit of our listeners, what kind of clients do you typically work with?
I tend to work with women who are, you know, between 30 and 65 years old who want to deepen relationships with themselves, with others, with God, increase their intuition and their ability to be very powerful creators in the world. That sometimes ends up producing a lot of money for them, but that tends to be a side effect. Most of the women I'm working with are really, really focused on expansion and, you know, how do I get my heart open? How do I expand my soul? How do I live in my purpose? How do I be in service to the world? And it all comes from self-love. It's that Ho'oponopono, which I always say wrong, but it's that idea that who I am inside is outside is a reflection of who I am. So the cleaner I am, the healthier the world is.
That's great. Okay. Thank you so much for that information.
And I think HeatherHundhausen.com and BeautifullyAuthentic.com, we'll make sure to put that on our Facebook page so people can link to it. And we're pretty much out of time. Wendy?
Yeah, Heather, thank you so much for being on our show today. It's been great talking to you. This is really an interesting discussion, and we hope that maybe in the future we can continue our conversation again if that works for you. Is that good for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. I love it.
Excellent. Yes, excellent.
I could talk for hours.
We'd love it.
And thank you, our audience, for tuning in again today to Sky's the Limit Radio. We appreciate you for listening and following us and hope you enjoyed our show today as much as we have. As always, the best way to get more information about upcoming shows is to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sky's the Limit Radio. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our Facebook page. We'll love to hear from you. Or you can visit us at our website at skysthelimitradio.com to stay up to date on all the good stuff that we have coming up for you. To listen to recordings of past shows you may have missed, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/skysthelimit. You never know, you might discover that one episode that could make a difference in your life. Until next time, everyone, and remember, the sky's the limit to what you can do. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye. Thanks, Heather.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Heather.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Bye, Heather. Thank
Until
you.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Bye, ladies. Thank you so much.